Roberta Wombolt's here. That's a Thursday evening. And then that weekend, September 10th, we're going to do, like, is that bright enough? We good? Is that the usual? Yeah? Okay. It seems a little, maybe we turn on some, maybe like that bank of lights in the back or something. Just like a little dark, I feel. Something. Yeah, that's a little better. Okay. So we have September 10th, we're going to do an outreach to Clinton. So we'll meet up here at 1:30, or you can meet in Clinton down around the fountain at Central Park around 2 o'clock. And then we'll evangelize in Clinton for a little while, and then we're going to go over to the O'Reilly's house afterwards. And they got a pig. So we're going to do a pig roast at the O'Reilly's house on Saturday. Right? Now, it's not they have a pet pig now and then it'll be roasted. Like it's like going to the supermarket and getting, it's not that way. It's not, well, I mean, Passover was like that, right? Yeah, no. Can't tell them which part you're going to eat. But anyway, so that'll be in, everyone's welcome. And it's like a potluck kind of thing, so that'll be a good time on Saturday. So I don't know why. Pig roast, is that like abnormal to have a pig roast? No? To roast. Yeah. In my mind, why else would you have a pig? No, I know, I'm just kidding. So anyway, that'll be fun. I mean, evangelism, it'll be like a mission trip to Clinton. We'll have a great time there, and then we'll have that time together in fellowship. And then Bible college classes are going to start up September 15th. Pastor Donald, that's a Thursday night. Pastor Donald will be teaching Survey of Doctrine. What time? 6:30, not 5 o'clock. 6:30, right? 6:30 on Thursday the 15th. They will start Survey of Doctrine class. Great class. I mean, foundational belief. If you know these things, come learn them again. Right? It's refreshing to know and to be encouraged in the teaching of Christ. Right? The teaching of our faith. And then Wednesday we're going to have class too. So September 14th, we'll start a new class. Right now we're finishing Daniel, but we'll start a new class September 14th, and that'll be in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then probably 7:45 at night. After the evening service, we'll do that class. So, and that will be announced shortly. Where there's three classes in the year, I got to pick one. And so that's what we're working on. Either way, it'll be from the Bible. All right. It's Bible college classes. They will be biblical. They will be Christian. They will be encouraging to all of us. So that is we've always done Bible college classes, but now we want to go more. Right? We want to make more available. If it's in your heart to be in Bible school, we want you to be able to do that here as much as possible. Or if you feel like called to Baltimore, you could do that too. Right? You could go down there, like Pastor Donald did. He went down there and he came back. Right? Stephen and Iwana came back. Avery's still there. No, he's still in Bible college. I'm just kidding. I don't think he's coming back. He's like running. He's running the place down there. Avery. No, it's awesome. I love it. I love that people have gone out. Actually, this church historically has sent many, many people down to Bible college in Baltimore who never came back. Right? But our missionaries in different places or serving in the church in Baltimore, and that's awesome, right? Isn't it? We want people to walk in the call that God has in their life, and that could be anywhere, but we prefer it's here. That's all. No. Did I say that out loud? No. No, it's a great thing. So Bible college, and then also in our hearts praying for the church, right? Praying for the church that in the future, the church will continue, right? The church will continue. It's continued up to this point, hasn't it? Yeah, here we are. Where did we come from? Some group of fishermen in Jerusalem, and now here we are. So what story could come out of this? And if we could be praying and you could be asking God, what is your call in my life? What am I called to? Am I called to pastor? Am I called to serve? And in what way? So that's also something that we learn in Bible college, and maybe we find our gift, maybe we find a way of serving the church or serving the body of Christ. So be praying for that. All right. Okay. Open with me. Now we can turn. We can actually go now. We can start the message, okay, because Charlie's here. I was stalling for like 10 minutes waiting for this family to walk in the door. Hallelujah. And they're here. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Shiloh's hair is catching up to Tristan. That's awesome. Oh, Lord. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Here we are back in Romans 8. And I know we're here a lot, but that's great. That's okay, because there's a lot in Romans chapter 8. And I want to speak this evening about how God's mind is made up about us. Now, we were on evangelism on Saturday, and Dexter and I were praying with a gentleman in the common, and it was beautiful. We had a couple times we spoke with a couple people there at downtown Marlboro at the common there, the John Brown Bell, and we were at the bench there just talking and then praying with people, and speaking to one gentleman who I've talked to quite a bit, and struggles with some things. I mean, and as we were talking, I had a bracelet, one of the beads, and I was just tying it around his wrist and just giving him the gospel as we were giving it to him. And this thought came into my mind that God's mind is made up about us. That he is not changing his mind about you and I. And how does that stabilize my life? How does that stabilize my walk with him? How many people have ever had to audition for anything? Right? Yeah, auditioning, interviewing, auditioning. You had to dance in front of people and you were evaluated, right? Well, that would be terrifying. Terrifying. Right? In that audition, we are looking to prove to people who we are. Right? Or we are looking to persuade them. And we are looking to convince them to settle their mind on us. We can change that, can't we? Right? You play sports, and you know, maybe say you play a pickup game of basketball. Everyone shows up at the court, and you're looking. You can read people, right? Or you're at the golf course. You show up at the golf course. You look at people's bags, right? Like, ooh, he looks like a player, right? He's got a good set of clubs there. But honestly, it could all just be appearance. Right? Somebody shows up at the field with all the equipment and all the stuff, right? Guy walks into the gym with the nicest shoes, and he's stretching, and you're like, all right, he's got the gear, he looks like a player. And he could convince you, right? He could convince you. But then he gets in on the court, and he starts shooting, and you're like, nope, nope, right? Your mind could have been made up, but then it can be changed based on his performance, right? Based on their performance. This is not the way that God is with us, thank God. We are looking for stability in our walk with God. We are looking for significance, and we are looking for security in our walk with God. If that is, all of those things are based on me, and based on how I perform, and based on what I do, then I will never have security. And I could think even I will never have significance unless I am doing this, or unless I am leading this, right? Like, unless I am leading a Bible study somewhere, then I am not a significant believer. Or something like that. We could put all of these burdens on ourselves. And we can cast and make a cast of what the perfect Christian is and what God wants. And we could say, until I am that, then I am nothing. And I will spend my energy and I will give my effort trying to prove to God that I am that. How does that sound? It sounds tiring, doesn't it? Sounds tiring because if you've been in relationships and you have had an expectation and you put an expectation on things, but the other person doesn't have the same expectation, have you ever experienced that frustration? That I expect things to be this way, but they expect things to be this way, and you both operate in your little expectations without them connecting, there's frustration there. If I am that way with God, where I expect Him to recognize my work, But then he is not, then I could be frustrated. Because it doesn't matter how much I do, then can I ever really please God? Our faith that we practice, the Christian faith, is so much more than what we do. And Pastor Brian Land, he said one day that we are human beings, and we are not human doings. Right? What I am doing is not the thing that defines me, but it's who I am and how I'm relating to God. That is the thing that defines me. So here in Romans chapter 8, we can start in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. That verse right there, verse 30, is an incredible span, right? It covers my salvation, past, present, future. My salvation is described there. That my salvation, I am called by God, I am justified by God, and I am glorified by God. How many of those things have happened in our lives? I have been called, I have been justified, hopefully, prayerfully, right? But have I been glorified yet? No, we haven't. Glory is waiting. Glory is what we will experience when we are in the presence of God. When we pass, or when we are raptured, however we go, once we are there in the presence of God, we will be glorified. What an amazing idea, isn't it? That to be in the presence of God and to be experiencing His glory, but then also my salvation will be complete. That here on earth we are experiencing our salvation. We are being justified, where we are being refined, and we are being conformed in the image of Christ. And it is a process. Have you experienced the process? Sometimes it's joyous, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's fire, right? The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. Why? Because it's creating in you something powerful, and it is refining you in the image of Christ. But the glorification has not happened yet. Where sin is no more, where the old sin nature is gone, where the access the devil has to me is not non-existent. This happens when I'm with Christ. But here in Romans chapter 8, it says it as though it's already happened. It says, whom He predestined, whom He called, He justified, whom He justified, He has glorified. Doesn't it say that? These He also glorified, past tense, meaning in God's eyes, you are glorified. That His mind is completely made up about you. That you already are in the most perfect position in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, we are seated together in heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, we are accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted in the Beloved. There is no greater place than that. There's no better group. There's no better club. There's nothing better to be accepted into than in the Beloved. And you are there already. His mind is made up about you. The jury is not out. The verdict is not out. It is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. And He spends so much time explaining it to us. That you are glorified. Read through the epistles. The epistles of Paul are him writing to churches who have been distracted by something, and he's bringing them all back to this truth that you already are in Christ, and that God's mind is completely made up about you. He's not changing it. Verse 31, what then shall we say of these things? Of these things. What about these? What things? About our calling, about our justification, about our glorification, about these things that are bigger than us, about these things that we cannot accomplish, about these things that we can't even really comprehend. What do we say about them? If God is for us, then who can be against us? If God's mind is made up about me, then what can change it? There isn't anything that can change God's mind. It's set. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? His mind was so made up about you that he sent Christ. That he sent Christ, and that Christ tasted death once for everybody. Christ tasted death how many times? Once. For who? Everybody. Right now there's some 7-8 billion people on the planet. Maybe in the history of humanity there's been 100 billion people. And his death on the cross was effective for every one of those people. That he didn't have to come and die for us individually, each one. Right? Imagine if it was like, okay, Pedro's finally proven himself, now I go die for Pedro. Right, Brian's still working on it. Joyce, okay, yep, we'll go die for Joyce now. And he has these things where he's at the cross, at the cross, at the cross, at the cross. No, that's not it. His mind was made up about us way before. And he sent his son to die for us, not because he thought us worthy of it, but because he chose to. Because his mind was made up that he would be the one. He would be the Redeemer. He would be the one who would be able to connect us with God again. This is in his mind. With that, verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Isn't that a good question? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? What is a charge? An accusation. A charge, like bringing a legal thing against you. Right? Have you ever been charged with a crime? Don't raise your hand. Right? Charged. Who can lay a charge against you? Who can? Really, nobody can, but a lot will. The devil will bring a lot against you. Right? Yourself. You will bring stuff against yourself. People will bring things against you. But that's fine. Because God's mind is already made up about us. Who shall lay a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God is the one who justifies. Who is he who condemns? I will condemn myself. I will condemn myself. You might condemn me. I'm sure you do, judging me all the time. Right? No, I'm just kidding. We can all condemn Shiloh right now for dropping the clipboard. No, we don't do that. We love it. We love the action. Right? We love Shiloh. We don't lay a charge against God's elect, against Shiloh. Who is he who condemns? Right? It is Christ who died. Right? So all of these things, these charges, these accusations, this condemnation, it will come. And if we pay attention just to it, just to those things, and measure ourselves against it, then we will be overwhelmed by it. And we'll say, well, I can't, I won't, I will fail, all these things. But then we have this in this verse, the most like encouraging progression. And it is this, that it is Christ who died. Hallelujah, Christ is the one who died. And furthermore, he is risen. So he died, he is risen, who is even at the right hand of God. And not only that, but he is making intercession for us. Why is he making intercession for us? Because his mind is made up about us. And he is praying for us. And he is not basing all of our life on an evaluation. Or he's not gauging his presence with us based on our performance for him. Right? The NFL is brutal, isn't it? It's brutal. Like the contracts are not guaranteed. And if you get hurt, you're done. Right? What is the average? I think the average career is, what, 3.5 years or something like that? And you read about these guys, they come up and start them and then they're gone. Right? It's brutal. And if you were not at the peak, then you're done. You miss like a step. A little bit of speed is gone, then you're done. You're washed up. That's the difference, right? It's brutal. Performance, 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 performance. Our faith is not that way. Our faith is not like this performance-based thing where if I mess up or if I fail, then I'm washed up. But instead, it's this way. It can go as long, and I can have as much energy, and it can be as I can be as sustained as Christ is able to give to me. Right? Isn't that amazing? It's not based on me. It's based on these things, that Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ has ascended, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Not only that, but He is praying for you, and He is interceding for you, based on Himself. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Those things could separate us from other things, right? Distress could separate me from my right mind. Peril could separate me from family. Famine could separate me from things. So the sword could separate me. There's division in it. Right? Yes, that can happen. But can anything separate me from the love of Christ? No, it can't. Why? Because His mind is made up about you, and He's chosen to love you, and He's not changing His mind. Right? Like sometimes we are like this because we think this way, that if I go through difficulty, I look at God and I say, what did I do wrong? Right? Like, what did I do to deserve this? I am having a hard time. And I don't think that's the way to look at things. Right? Instead, we could look at it and say, Lord, despite all these things, thank You that You are not separating Your love from me. And none of these things can change the way that You think about me, that I am Yours and You are mine. Nothing can change that. As it is written in verse 36, for Your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The last part there, through Him who loved us. That is in the past tense. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. When did He love us? When we were unlovely. Romans chapter 5. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were actively against Him, He died for us. We worship the God who justifies the ungodly. Isn't that amazing? He justifies the ungodly. Why? Because He has decided to do it. And He's not changing His mind about it. Right? So through Him who loved us. If we look at how God loves us and we base it on us, and we say, okay, God loves me because I did this. How do you feel? You pat yourself on the back and be like, Lord, thank You. You must love me because I did this. I performed in a way, or I did something that You wanted me to do. You must love me. But then what security do I have that He will love me in the future? It's based on me again, isn't it? If I perform, then You will love me. But this verse here says, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And that love is in the past tense, meaning that that love preceded everything that He has given me. That He has saved me because He loves me. And everything that He has given me is coming out of His love for me. And He wants me to be carried along by His love, not bribing Him to love me. Like, have you ever had to persuade someone to like you? Right? Tried it. Right? Middle school. Right? Negotiating relationships. Right? I'll give you these chocolate chip cookies. Right? If you give me those carrot sticks. Right? And I will show you how much I like you. I would even give up my chocolate chip cookies for you. I remember one time that... Yeah, I won't tell the story. Never mind. It doesn't really matter. You would laugh and I would just be embarrassed. But anyway. you're like, ooh, we want to hear it. Bring it on. No, it's not that. But no, it's not that way. God is not saying, like, He's not saying, prove it. Like, draw my love out and I'll love you. No, He's saying, I love you. And it becomes the tide that carries us along. It becomes the thing that changes us. Because through Him who loved us. Right? It's simple, isn't it? Past tense. He loved me. When did He love me? He loved me always. Before I was anything. He loved me. Amazing. While I was lost, He loved me. While I was in sin, He loved me. While I was complaining, he loved me. While I had a bad attitude, he loved me. What is that? What does that show me? Well, now that I am his child, now that I am born of God, I know that he will love me. His love for me is secure. I'm secure in it because he loved me when I was at my worst. That he made up his mind about me then, and I know it is settled later on, and I'll be okay. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's settled. God's mind about me is settled. And he will love me. Nothing can change it. Nothing will change it. Nothing can affect it. Nothing I do will improve it or disprove it. Right? Isn't that grace? Grace is that way. That grace means that nothing you do can earn it, and nothing you do can cause it you to do to have a demerit. Imagine God taking grace away. Like you are saved by grace, but if you don't keep it up, then I'm going to take it back. No, you are saved by grace through faith. That is done. My mind is made up. And now we do. We walk through life and sometimes we trip up. Sometimes we have sin and we confess our sin and we are okay. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he advocates for us based on the blood of Christ. And his mind towards us never, never changes. It's settled. So when we get up in the morning, we can think, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I disappointed you. No. Instead, we have this confession that we say, Lord, thank you that your mind is settled about me. Thank you that although I feel this way, the truth is that I am seated in heavenly places. The truth is that your mind is settled and there's nothing I can do, good, bad, or indifferent, to change it. So I'm going to take the next step in the security of your thoughts about me. And I'm going to walk by faith in it. Right? I'm going to walk by faith in it. Abraham was this way. David was this way. Paul was this way. Right? This is the way these men of God lived in the Bible. Hannah was this way. Do you know the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel? Amazing. She had Samuel and she gave Samuel up. Hannah knew who God was. She knew who she was. And yes, she had bitterness in her soul, but ultimately she brought it to God because she knew that he would answer her. There was one more part. Yeah, so we walk by faith in it, right? We walk by faith in what God has done. We don't listen to condemnation. Don't listen to condemnation. It's garbage. Right? The devil is the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? How often is he accusing? Day and night, it says in Revelation chapter 12. He is accusing us before God day and night. You ever just tell him, just like, take it easy. Just shut up. Right? You don't have to listen to a thing he says. There's stories in the book of Nehemiah where Nehemiah has a mission and he knows he has it. He's building the walls and he knows it. God's given it to do and he knows that God has given his hand power to do it and authority to do it. And he's doing, he's working, and everybody else is catching on. Right? We know that story. The wall is being built, and then all of a sudden somebody goes out to start building, and then the neighbor starts building, and then blah, 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 and they see their building, so they go build, and then all of a sudden these walls are starting to go up. Right? But all the while, what's happening? Sanballat and Tobiah and these other guys are constantly coming up against Nehemiah. Constantly. Constantly. Hey, Nehemiah! And he says, I don't have time for you. Hey, Nehemiah, I don't have time for you. Our life is this way, where we are building by faith, and we are taking the next step, and we could say, Lord, there is resistance. Lord, this is not comfortable. Lord, everything should be easier, but it's not. But I'm going to, by faith, I'm going to set the next stone. I'm going to put the next stone. I'm going to put the next stone. And then all of a sudden we see the accusation is there. And Sanballat and Tobiah, a couple times, they say, hey, Nehemiah, come down off the wall and meet us down in the plain of Ono. And Nehemiah says, no, I won't go to the plain of Ono, right? And he doesn't. He said, I am on a mission. I have direction. I have authority. I have a word from God. I know who I am. I know what He's called me to do. And I'm not going to be distracted with the conversation that you have to present to me. This is this way that we are moving. We are raising our families. We're encouraging our friends and family. We're our spouses, our marriages, right? Like all of these things. And we're in the body of Christ. We're encouraging and building each other. And then there will be these little things that come. Hey, give me, just take a break. You deserve a break. You deserve a rest, right? Come on down. And we could come down off the wall, and what happens? We get ambushed. Right? Nehemiah, if he came down off the wall, he could be ambushed, right? But instead, in wisdom and in authority, he says, I'm not coming down there. Get out of here. And you know what he says to Sanballat and Tobiah? He says, you have no rights, you have no inheritance, and you have no possession here in the land. You are illegitimate, actually. Right? Isn't that good? Like, these guys were coming up against the city of Jerusalem that belonged to these people, and they were trying to take it back. And he said, no, actually, you are illegitimate. And we have that answer to the devil. We say, no, you, devil, are illegitimate. You are the orphan. You are the one who chose to depart. I'm not coming down into your little conversation. I'm up here. I'm seated in Christ. This is where I am. His mind is made up about me, and you're not going to change it. Right? So let's get connected with these ways of thinking. Right? That we want to think this way too. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Right? Think with God. Paul thought with God, didn't he? Philippians 1:21, what did he say? For me to live is Christ, hallelujah, but to die, it might happen. But that's gain. And in this walk of faith, uncomfortable things happen. But what do? We keep going. We keep going by faith in the reality of who Christ is and in the reality of who He said that I am. His mind is made up about us. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank You for these thoughts. Thank You for a settled mind on us. That we are not auditioning, we are not performing, but instead we are resting in Your work, Lord. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.